In this Imagine 2026 episode, 10 music therapy professionals reflect on three guiding questions. How do we invite children into sessions where they feel safe, seen, and curious? How do children actively shape their experiences? And how do they share their voices with others?
When I invite a child into their first music therapy session, my goal is to help them feel safe, seen, and curious right from the start. Often I'll open with a preferred song or something fun and interactive, like a call and response hello song using a microphone. That might be a real microphone or something playful like a mallet or toy, just to spark engagement and imagination.
And then I try to make sure that the things I have and the materials are enticing and a variety, and that I am on a level that the child feels comfortable with. That means if we're sitting on the floor, we're both on the floor. If we're at a chair and table, I'm at the same height as the child.
When first working with a client, I think one of the most important considerations is actually your environment. I know we don't always have great control of what our environment might look like, but really adapting and creating the environment that is safe is going to set our session up for success.
I welcome them into the clinic, same as I would when I welcome someone into my home for the first time. I give them a tour and I let them see what's in this room. I make sure that they are able to explore their curiosity. What is this? How do I move it? I can hit it. I can bang it. And that curiosity will naturally lead into them being able to shape their music experience.
I like to be able to be flexible enough with my lesson plan so that I can meet them where they kind of gravitate towards. And then I'll start doing the hello song in that area with them, or we'll do a movement activity where they kind of seem like they want to go next.
Children are incredibly sensitive to authenticity. When they sense that we're genuinely listening to their sounds, their movements, their choices, they begin to relax and engage.
Across voices, one idea is clear. Entry is not directed, it's discovered.
I try to create a balance of structure and openness right from the first session so children can feel safe, seen, and also a little curious.
For young children, participation doesn't look like big decisions. It lives in small, meaningful choices embedded throughout the session. In practice, I offer opportunities for micro decisions. Which instrument to explore, whether to continue or stop, how loud or fast we play, or even how close they want to be. For example, a child might tap a drum once and pause.
I'm a big believer in having children be active participants in shaping their own music therapy sessions. I do a lot of choices in my session, whether that be choices of what song is next, what activity we're going to do, or choices within activities, like what instrument, or in Old MacDonald, which animal we're going to sing about first, things like that.
And I want to see how they're going to play it. And then I will support them and oftentimes play how they're playing so that they feel seen. And so that they feel empowered within the therapeutic space.
They can choose a song. They can choose tempos. You can have pictures of a turtle, a rabbit, and a jet. And all of those choices are available, as well as colors of the instruments. And then sometimes it's important to know that children have to learn that they don't always get to make choices, so that choices become something that you take turns with, or you use a large foam dice and put the pictures of different items, and whatever is rolled, that's what you're going to do. The child has still made a choice and rolled the dice, so to speak, but they're not always absolutely in charge.
Participation isn't just a single moment. It's a rhythm of offering, responding, and sharing control.
Music makes that process natural because it allows communication to happen even before a child has the words to explain how they're feeling. In many ways, the music becomes our first shared language.
I also highlight nonverbal communication. If a child turns away, pauses, or changes activity, I might say to the caregiver, that might be their way of saying, not right now. Let's adjust.
How are they exploring Are they exploring vocally? Are they making a lot of sounds and humming? We're able to take that and have that shape the key of the song. Are they running back and forth between activities? I might have that shape the tempo of the song, how quickly they're moving from thing to thing. If they're rocking, jumping, I can use all of their body postures as a way to shape the music.
I'll often model simple musical ideas to give them an easy way in and use tools like pauses or open-ended musical phrases to invite a response without putting pressure on them.
In music therapy, listening goes beyond sound. It's about noticing, interpreting, and responding in the moment.
When it comes to reflection, I think about ways children can share their experiences that feel natural and accessible to them. I love taking photos and videos during sessions, which we can then revisit together, even after the session with the parent in the waiting room. These visuals can help children recall what happened with less prompting and give them a way to share their experience with others.
For many young children, reflection happens through doing as opposed to talking. They might show a parent the song that we wrote together, or demonstrate a rhythm that they learned, or help teach a family member how to play an instrument the way they played it in their session.
Some ways that your child can carry some of these goals back with their peers, families, and share about their music therapy experiences, you can get really creative with this. You can do songwriting, you can do recordings, both video and audio. I love multimedia projects.
I also have a large roll of paper and some crayons right by the door at my office. And a lot of times kids will draw something on their way out. Recently I had a child draw a picture of the two of us, the client and me, both holding maracas. So it was sort of like a representation of what we had just done in the session. And so I think that kids are naturally creative and they'll find ways to share their experiences as long as we give them the space to do so.
In telepractice, reflection often happens naturally within the family context, and caregivers play a key role in supporting and extending it. I might coach caregivers to notice and revisit meaningful moments. For example, that song they responded to. Maybe you can sing it again later today and see what they do. This helps embed the child's expressions into daily routines.
One of the ways I love doing this is using video modeling and video self-modeling. I love making what I call movies with the kids. And then they can watch that movie at home with their family members. And at home, they can say, that was me doing that song or that instrument. It's just kind of a cool way to take it from the therapy space into the larger space.
Reflection isn't about explaining. It's about expressing.